Welcome, curious minds, to another deep dive. Today, we're unearthing a topic that's really been bubbling beneath the surface. You know, in public health talks, tobacco alternatives, SNUS, you might have seen it mentioned, maybe heard some whispers, or even just wondered, what is that?
And that's exactly what we're here to do today. We want to clarify the facts around SNUS, specifically Swedish SNUS, and also its newer cousin, nicotine pouches. We'll explore what these things actually are, how they work, and really importantly, their impact in the real world, especially when you, well, put them side by side with traditional smoking.
Right. And we've gathered quite a stack of sources for this deep dive. We're looking at everything from its surprising history to the science, comparing it to smoking, and the legal side of things, too, which is complicated. By the end of this, you'll have a much clearer picture, not just of SNUS itself, but why it plays such a, well, such a pivotal and, let's be honest, often debated role in public health globally. Okay, let's dig in. So when someone first comes across SNUS, I think the immediate thing is, what exactly is this stuff? Can you give us that basic definition?
Yeah, absolutely. So SNUS, and it's pronounced SNUS, is basically a moist, smokeless tobacco product. It originated in Sweden quite a while ago. Users just take a small bit of it, a portion, and place it under their upper lip. The nicotine then gets absorbed through the lining of your mouth, the oral mucosa.
And what jumps out immediately about that method is what it doesn't involve, right? No fire, no smoke. That's just fundamentally different from a cigarette.
Precisely. No combustion at all, so no smoke to inhale or exhale for that matter. And a really big point of appeal for many, especially if you compare it to other oral tobaccos like, say, chewing tobacco or dip, is that it's totally spit-free.
That's pretty unique. Where did this distinct product actually come from? What's the origin story?
Well, its roots go back way back to the 18th century. It actually evolved from dry nasal snuff. Swedish farmers, laborers, they adapted it for oral use. It was just a convenient way to use tobacco while they were working, you know. And by the 1800s, it wasn't just some niche thing. It was like deeply woven into Swedish culture, a real staple in workplaces, daily life. It became the go-to smoke-free option for a lot of people.
Okay, so if it's spit-free and no smoke, how does Swedish SNUS manage that? What's the, like, the secret in how it's made that sets it apart?
The real defining thing, the key, is the manufacturing process. It uses pasteurization, not fermentation. That's crucial. They take high-quality air-dried tobacco leaves, grind them finely, and then mix them with water, salt, and an alkalizing agent, usually sodium carbonate. This whole blend is designed to optimize how the nicotine gets absorbed.
Right, and here's where that unique chemistry bit comes in. You mentioned pasteurization. This mixture gets heat treated, right? Around 80 degrees Celsius. And that's not just about killing germs. It does something fundamental to the tobacco itself.
Exactly. That heat treatment is absolutely key. It kills off microbes, sure, but importantly, it stops fermentation from happening. And stopping fermentation dramatically lowers the levels of something called tobacco-specific nitrosamines, or TSNAs. These are known carcinogens. So this pasteurization essentially makes Swedish SNUS, cleaner than a lot of other oral tobaccos, like American Dip, for instance, which often relies on fermentation. It also makes sure the SNUS stays moist, usually over 50%. Water content.
Okay, so once it's made like that, how do you actually use it? Is there a specific technique? You don't chew it? You don't swallow the tobacco itself?
No, not at all. For the portion SNUS, which comes in little pre-packed pouches, you just take one out and sort of gently tuck it between your upper gum and lip. Usually off to one side feels most comfortable for people. If you're using the traditional loose SNUS, you just pinch a small amount, kind of compress it into a little shake, they call it a prilla, and place it in the same spot.
And a big point for convenience and maybe discretion, too, is you don't chew it. And crucially, no need to spit. The juices that come off it, you can actually swallow those safely.
That's right. The nicotine and the flavors, they just gradually release as your mouth naturally moistens the portion. You can keep it in for, well, anywhere from maybe 15 minutes up to an hour, depending on the product and your preference. And lots of SNUS cans these days even have this handy little built-in compartment right in the lid. It's for used portions. Makes disposal super easy and, you know, mess-free.
That makes a lot of sense, yeah. Very practical. But it sounds like it's probably not just one single type of product then, is it? How much variety are we talking about in the SNUS world?
Oh, it's definitely not monolithic. There's a really wide range. You've got loose SNUS, first off. That's the traditional form, just the moist powder. It's often preferred by, let's say, purists. They like the flexibility in portion size and the really powerful flavor release you can get. It can be a little messier to handle, though.
Right. But I guess the more common choice for most people nowadays is portion snus, those little ready-to-use pouches. And they come in different sizes, too, you mentioned. Mini, standard, slim, designed for comfort and being discreet.
Exactly. And even within portion snus, there are more distinctions. You have original portions. These are typically moist, they look brown, and they're designed for a faster nicotine hit and flavor release. Then you have white portions. These feel drier on the outside, they look lighter in color, and they generally give you a slower, maybe more sustained experience with less drip.
Okay, speaking of the experience, let's talk about the kick. How strong can this stuff get? What's the range of nicotine strength?
It varies a lot. You can find what they call normal strength, maybe around 4 to 8 milligrams per portion.
Yeah.
Then you step up to strong, maybe 9 to 15 milligrams. And then you get into extra strong or ultra strong, which can push well over, say, 16, even up to 30 plus milligrams per portion. Some brands, like Siberia is famously known for this, claim strengths around like 43 milligrams per gram.
Yeah.
So yeah, extremely potent options exist. It really covers a huge spectrum.
Wow. Okay. 43 milligrams. That sounds intense. So beyond the nicotine, what about the taste? Is it all just, you know, straight tobacco flavor?
Not at all. Well, the base is tobacco. Traditional Swedish snus often has this classic bergamot flavor, kind of like Earl Grey tea or maybe citrus. It gives it a robust, earthy taste, but with a zesty note. But the market's just exploded with flavors now. Mint and menthol are hugely popular. Licorice is a classic, too. And then you find a massive array of fruit flavors, coffee, even things like whiskey infusions. For beginners, usually mint or maybe a milder fruit flavor is a good starting point.
And just so people have some names, if they're curious, we're talking about big Swedish brands, right? Like General, Göteborgs, Rope, Aten, Skruf, Odin's, and yeah, that Siberia one you mentioned.
Right. And it's also really important to make a distinction here between authentic Swedish snus and what used to be marketed, especially in the U.S., as American snus.
Mm.
The American versions tended to be, well, sweeter, lower in moisture, lower pH, usually less nicotine kick, and potentially higher levels of those TSNA, as we talked about, compared to the Swedish stuff, which is really rigorously quality controlled.
Yeah.
If you want the genuine article, the authentic experience, imported Swedish brands are really considered the gold standard.
Okay, that makes sense. Now let's pivot slightly to something that looks, well, incredibly similar to snus, but has one really key difference, nicotine pouches. Are they just snus without the tobacco mess, or is it more complicated?
It's a really critical distinction, actually. People often call them tobacco-free snusses or all-white snus, and you can see why they look similar.
Mm.
But nicotine pouches contain zero tobacco leaf, none at all. Instead, they use plant fibers, things like cellulose, as a base. And that base is then infused with nicotine, either extracted from tobacco or sometimes synthetic nicotine plus flavorings.
So the fundamental difference is truly the complete absence of tobacco leaf material.
Okay. And how does that affect the user experience then?
Well, they're usually drier than traditional snus portions. That typically means the nicotine release is a bit slower, maybe more subtle. The flavors also tend to be, let's say, cleaner, often sweeter too, because there's no underlying tobacco taste to mask or complement. And a big plus for many users is they generally don't stain your teeth, and they also tend to have a longer shelf life. Popular brands you might see around are things like Velo, ZYN, White Fox, Auntie Menon, those kinds of names.
Gotcha. So if someone wants to avoid tobacco completely,
yeah,
but still wants nicotine in that, you know, discreet oral pouch format, nicotine pouches are the obvious choice. But stepping back to snus itself, how does it compare to other common oral tobaccos, things like dip or traditional chewing tobacco? Yeah, good question. So unlike snus, traditional chewing tobacco is actual cured leaf. You actively chew it or kind of suck on it, and it almost always requires spitting. That's the key difference. Dipping tobacco, which is sometimes called moist snuff, is usually placed in the lower lip, not the upper, like snus. It's often fermented, remember, not pasteurized like Swedish snus, and again, it requires frequent spitting. So it's really that upper lip placement combined with the pasteurization process that makes snus uniquely spit-free and, well, generally cleaner to use.
And sometimes, particularly in Europe, you might hear the term chew bags. What are those?
Yes, chew bags. They're essentially portion bags, but they're filled with a coarser cut of tobacco. They were often developed specifically to get around EU snus sales bans by technically classifying them differently based on the cut. Usage is pretty much identical to snus pouches under the lip. No spitting. It's mostly a legal distinction, not really a practical one for the user. And just to be absolutely crystal clear, snus is definitely not the same as dry nasal snuff. That's a completely different product. You sniff up your nose.
Okay, makes sense. Right, let's get to the question that's probably top of mind for a lot of people listening, the health implications. What does the science actually say about snus use? Is it really safer than smoking, as often claimed? Or does snus itself cause cancer?
Yeah, this is the big one, and it's vital we address it head on. First things first, snus contains nicotine, and nicotine is addictive. Let's be clear about that. Using it can definitely lead to dependence, similar to cigarettes. Nicotine also affects your heart rate, your blood pressure. But it's important to understand nicotine itself isn't generally considered a direct cause of cancer, a carcinogen.
Okay, but the really contentious point, and where the research seems quite compelling, is specifically around cancer risk. What does the evidence actually show there?
Well, multiple large-scale studies, particularly out of Sweden, where snus use is high and they have great data, have found no significant link between using Swedish snus and getting oral cancer. In fact, Sweden has some of the lowest rates of oral cancer in all of Europe, despite this high prevalence of snus use, especially among men. The UK Royal College of Physicians looked into this back in 2007. They explicitly noted they found no clearly established causes of premature death from snus use and no obvious increase in oral cancers. And this is largely thought to be because of that pasteurization process we talked about, and critically, the fact that there's no combustion, no burning.
Right. So no burning means no inhalation, which takes lung cancer off the table compared to smoking. What about other types of cancer or maybe heart issues?
There have been some studies looking into potential links, maybe a slight, sometimes mixed risk suggested for pancreatic or gastrointestinal cancers. But these findings aren't consistently confirmed across all research. And even when suggested, the risk is vastly, vastly smaller than the cancer risks from smoking. As for cardiovascular health, yes, nicotine does temporarily raise your heart rate and blood pressure. So while very heavy snus use might slightly increase the risk of developing hypertension over time, the evidence overwhelmingly shows this risk is significantly less than the cardiovascular damage caused by smoking. And this led the FDA, the U.S. Food and Drug Administration, to make a pretty powerful statement. They concluded that completely switching from cigarettes to snus puts you at a lower risk of mouth cancer, heart disease, lung cancer, stroke, emphysema, and chronic bronchitis.
Wow. That's a really strong statement, especially coming from the FDA. It really highlights that harm reduction angle. What about dental health, though? Is it tough on your teeth or gums?
It can have some effects. Traditional snus, over time, can cause some tooth discoloration. And if you always put the portion in the exact same spot, you might see some localized gum recession there. However, it's generally considered less staining than smoking is. And it doesn't typically lead to the kind of severe tooth decay you sometimes see with sugary chewing tobaccos. Good oral hygiene, you know, brushing and flossing, and simply rotating where you place the pouch in your mouth can really help minimize these minor issues.
Okay, so if we sort of pull all of this health information together, what does it really boil down to for the whole idea of harm reduction in public health?
The scientific consensus is actually remarkably clear on this point. Snus is substantially less harmful to your health than smoking cigarettes. Dramatically so. The UK Royal College of Physicians, again, they estimated the risk of serious disease from long-term snus use is at most maybe just a few percent of the risk from smoking. We're talking over 90% less harmful. And you just have to look at Sweden's real-world experience. They have dramatically lower smoking rates, especially among men, and correspondingly lower rates of smoking-related diseases like lung cancer. It serves as a really compelling population-level example of snus's potential for harm reduction.
So given that much lower harm profile, does snus actually work as a tool for quitting smoking? Is that why people switch?
Yes, it absolutely can be. There's quite a lot of evidence showing snus can be a really effective substitute for cigarettes. This is particularly evident in Sweden, where, anecdotally and in studies, many, many ex-smokers credit snus as the method that finally helped them quit smoking for good. It seems to address both the nicotine addiction and those habitual, ritualistic aspects of smoking that people find hard to give up. And as we mentioned, the FDA even went so far as to grant General Snus a specific modified risk order, basically acknowledging it reduces tobacco-related diseases if used as a complete replacement for cigarettes.
Okay. How does it stack up against other things people used to quit, like, say, vaping, or the more traditional nicotine patches or gum?
Well, both snus and vaping share the key benefit of eliminating combustion, which makes them inherently much safer than continuing to smoke. Snus probably has more robust, longer-term population health data behind it, just because it's been around longer. The choice between snus and vaping often comes down to personal preference, really. Snus is arguably simpler, maybe more discreet. Vaping perhaps mimics the hand-to-mouth action and inhalation of smoking more closely, which some people prefer. Compared to traditional nicotine replacement therapies, NRTs like gum or patches, snus often provides a more satisfying nicotine delivery and perhaps fulfills that ritualistic component better for some really heavy smokers who struggle to quit with NRTs alone.
Right. And what about the legal side of things? You hinted it was complex. Is snus legal to buy and use everywhere?
Yeah, it's definitely what you'd call a global patchwork. It's perfectly legal, common, part of the culture in Sweden and Norway. However, there's a ban on the sale of snus across the entire European Union, with Sweden having a specific exemption, an opt-out from that ban. In the UK, even after Brexit, the EU ban on sales was retained in UK law, so selling snus is still prohibited there. However, personal use isn't illegal, and importing it for your own personal use is generally allowed. But here's a crucial point. Those tobacco-free nicotine pouches are legal and widely available across both the EU and the UK, so they serve as a readily accessible alternative for people in those regions. And then in the USA, snus is legal. It's regulated by the FDA as a smokeless tobacco product, and as we discussed, the FDA has actually recognized its potential for harm reduction compared to cigarettes.
So, this whole debate around snus, its health effects, its legal status, it really highlights a bigger public health question, doesn't it? Should policy actively promote significantly safer nicotine alternatives to help current smokers quit combustibles? Or should the approach be to treat all tobacco and nicotine products as essentially the same problem?
Exactly. And the Swedish experience, as it's often called, provides a really strong case study for the first approach. It demonstrates a potential pathway to dramatically reduce smoking rates and the associated diseases at a population level. Now, of course, there are valid concerns raised about things like youth uptake or people using both snus and cigarettes, so-called dual use. These need careful monitoring and regulation. But based on decades of evidence, the known long-term health profile of snus is undeniably vastly more favorable than that of smoking. For smokers who find it incredibly difficult to quit nicotine altogether using other methods, snus offers a practical, existing, and significantly less harmful way to get off combustible tobacco.
This has been incredibly insightful, a real deep dive into the world of snus. We've covered its unique making process, that pasteurization, its spit-free nature, how it's really quite different from other tobacco products, and its significant, if sometimes controversial, role in tobacco harm reduction.
Yeah, and I think for you, the listener, the key takeaway really is this. While snus definitely contains addictive nicotine, and it's certainly not risk-free, the scientific consensus is that it represents a dramatically less harmful alternative to smoking cigarettes. It's a really compelling option for smokers who feel unable to quit nicotine entirely. It offers a clear, evidence-based path towards a smoke-free life with significantly reduced health risks compared to continuing smoking.
And whether we're talking about the traditional loose stuff, those convenient portion pouches, or the completely tobacco-free nicotine pouches, it's clear there's a wide and still evolving landscape of options out there in this oral nicotine space.
Absolutely. And maybe just as we wrap up, here's something to ponder. In this global push for better public health, if a product like snus, which has decades of real-world population data from Sweden demonstrating substantial harm reduction, still faces outright sales bans in many developed regions, well, what does that tell us about our overall approach to addiction, risk, and harm reduction? How might a potentially more nuanced, evidence-based global strategy towards different nicotine products actually reshape public health outcomes for the better? It's certainly food for thought.
Indeed it is. Fascinating stuff. We really hope this deep dive has given you a clearer, much more informed perspective on snus. Until next time, keep digging for those nuggets of knowledge.